I'm Alec Burleson, and you're listening to the Voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Bird swept a series over the weekend. Got John Hancock sitting in for Amy Marks Kors. Hey. I'm Chris Ranji. We're with you until 12 o'clock today. Then it's the Gas House Gang, Tom Ackerman and me, and John Rooney is going to join the show. Joining us now is the host of Sports Open Line, Redbird Rush Hour, which happens 5 o'clock on weekdays when the Cardinals don't interfere with that, and pre- and post-game coverage. He does all of it. It's Matt Pauly with us on KMOX. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
And it turns out, according to your grandmother, you were related to Mark Twain.
That's what we were told. So Samuel Clemens, obviously she had a whole story, so I've always believed it. So this might be true. There's a good chance this is true. The story was in my family, because Samuel Clemens is Mark Twain.
Right.
My grandmother's maiden name was Clements. There was a T in there. And she told a story that there was actually a break in the family, that part of the family kept the T and part of the family did not keep the T. And the two sides did not get along. And Mark Twain was on the side that did not keep the T.
But he added the T to Twain. When he made up his name. So it wasn't the T that he had trouble with. It must have been those family members.
I guess so.
That is
the story that, and I mean, that's a lot of information there. That's very believable.
You come from the difficult side?
The T.
You don't know which side is the difficult one?
I think the T was initially there, and then the other side got rid of the T for some reason, like it was hard to say, or I don't know. They're the difficult. Mark Twain's the difficult side. We're the happy.
Mark Twain's the difficult side. I just went to the website John was telling me about, Famous Kin, famouskin.com, and I typed in Rutherford B. Hayes, that my great grandmother insisted we were related to him. And it turns out that I'm also related to John because I'm related to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, me and my cousin here.
And Billie Eilish.
Yeah, and I'm not related, according to my website, to Billie Eilish, but I am related to Taylor Swift.
And Matt Damon. And Mickey Rourke.
Huh?
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Also Boris Johnson. Okay. So that's pretty good, I think.
That's not bad.
Boris Johnson. Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah, good.
Ooh.
Yeah. How about the Cardinals?
Ooh, Emily Dickinson. Yeah, the Cardinals keep winning, buddy.
Yeah, that was so for them to lose 2 out of 3 against Detroit, and it wasn't a bad series. Mm-mm. They could have won that series. That's a really, really good Detroit team. So that's okay. You lose 2 out of 3 to Detroit. To have a winning homestand after losing 2 out of 3 to Detroit, that's a fantastic week for this team. And they just keep finding ways to win games. All of a sudden, they're the team that's winning every single one-run game. You look at all three games of the Diamondback series, 4-3, 6-5, 4-3. This is so much fun the way they're playing, and more people are paying attention. The crowds were pretty good over the weekend. They were loud. Ollie told a story about how he got thrown out on the Friday game, and when Arenado snuck that triple out to left field that put him ahead, he kind of stuck his ear out the hallway just to hear what it was like out there. And I was down on the field for that when I was doing the post-game interview, and I can tell you, like, sitting down there and just hearing it, it felt the way it sounded. It sounded the way Busch Stadium is supposed to sound.
Man, that's great. And I tell you, one of the things I'm really encouraged about with this team is that they're very competitive against very good starting pitching. And that's not often been the case, even when the Cardinals were having success, in the early 2020s. They weren't so great against the ace pitchers on other teams. And this year, that's been a different story.
Yeah, I credit a lot of that to Brant Brown. It really feels like this team is putting together an individualized approach on an every single game basis. That's actually, I've thrown out the idea, I don't know if it's true or not, that's actually part of the reason I think that maybe there's some level of inconsistency with who they are offensively. At times they seem like an all or nothing team. I think they're building out a plan just about every single day to face off against these various starting pitchers, and it is really working. To your point, John, I mean, you look at the names of guys that they have had success against this year, it's an all-star team of pitchers. So it's really, really cool to see that they're doing that.
And you know what? Not only that, but they have done well against teams that are over 500. Like the really, they've actually got one of the better records in baseball against 500 or better teams. I think there are only two other. It's the Mets and the Yankees. Those are the only two teams that have done better this year against good clubs. And I think that, beating the Diamondbacks, because Arizona came into the series over 500, they leave under 500. So that kind of hurts the record a little bit because they won all three of those games and the Cardinals are the reason they're under 500. But they have done just really well against overall good competition. How long can they keep that up?
I don't know. I hope for a while.
It's
not an easy thing to do to keep beating. And here's the other thing. Not only are they beating good teams, there's been times with the Cardinals where they're really good against good teams, but then they fall back against not so good teams.
Yep.
I was really happy when they played Pittsburgh and they swept them. I was really happy when they played Washington and they swept them. Teams that are not great, they're having success against. They've got another challenge with that this week or this starting today against Baltimore. Now, I would argue Baltimore is a lot better than their record would indicate. They don't have a whole lot of pitching, but they got a lot of hitting. They should not be 18-34. They've already fired their manager. So we'll see what they do. And they're just coming off a good series win. They just, a series split. They played four games against the Red Sox and then split. But in Boston, that's a pretty good series for them. So I understand what you're saying. And it's really important to go out and have success against good teams, but it's just as important to go out and have success against not so good teams. And they've been able to do each of those things.
How about Ivan Herrera? This guy, he's doing otherworldly things at the moment. I think he's got more RBIs than games played, something like that. I mean, he's been really something.
His numbers are stupid. He's almost hitting 400. He's a 391 hitter. He's slugging almost 700. His OPS is almost 1,200. Of his 27 hits this year, 11 of them have gone for extra bases, 6 doubles, 5 home runs. You mentioned the RBIs, 25 RBIs in 21 games played. It is incredible. He's a middle-of-the-order, run-producing bat. He's kind of stabilized the DH spot because that's a spot that the Cardinals had not been getting any success out of, really. And he's going to catch a little bit. But, guys, I like him in that DH spot for a couple reasons. A, he's not the best defensive catcher. Secondly, we have seen because of that, Oliver Marmol in a close game is going to want to remove Herrera from behind the plate and put Páez in there for defense. So if there's a situation where that happens, then all of a sudden the opponent ties it up, you take Herrera's bat out. So you're always risking that if you've got him behind the plate. And then I like the way the roster alignment is right now. I think it's okay to look to the future as well. And at some point, Jimmy Crooks is going to be here. Jimmy Crooks could get here this year. And I don't want to see the Cardinals move on from Ivan Herrera, obviously. I think Pedro Páez is just the absolutely perfect guy for that role. So if you're eventually going to have Jimmy Crooks, you want to be able to have a roster alignment that allows all three of those guys to be on the roster, and I think we see that right now.
Speaking of the future, Jordan Walker on the homestand had a pretty good one, 6 of 14, drove in 5 runs during the homestand. Do you think you're seeing signs of maybe him starting to figure it out a bit, or is this just a good stretch for him?
Yeah, I'm not trying to not answer your question, but I don't know, and nobody knows. That's the key thing here. Now, it was really good to see what he did. He's got 4 hits over his last 2 games. He's got 3 RBIs over his last 2 games. I mean, there's obviously steps forward. There was a game, maybe it was in the Kansas City series, when he got a base hit, a big hit that Oliver Marmol said, there was a specific tweak they'd been working on, and they feel like that might have unlocked something. Since the Kansas City series, let's see, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He has 8 hits over his last 8 games. So, hit a game right now for him. I hope he has everything you need to be a superstar type player. When you look at the underlying numbers with, his ability to hit the ball hard and the swing, how fast he swings and everything. So, I don't know. I don't know. We've seen it a million times where a guy has a good day, a good week, a good month, and then all of a sudden it turns into nothing. We've also seen it a million times where that is the start of something. So I hope it's the start of something. I just can't sit here and tell you that it is.
With Herrera back now and taking most of the days at DH, the one guy we're not, I don't think, going to be able to properly evaluate this year is Nolan Gorman, because they couldn't trade Arenado in the offseason. I just don't see very many options to play Gorman on anything like a consistent basis unless somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, that's the thing. If everybody's healthy, you're right, 100% right. But you don't go through 162 games. Like today, Arenado's not in the lineup. Contreras is back in there today, which is good to see. But Arenado, after taking that spill into the stands on that great catch yesterday, he's not in there. So Gorman's going to get the start at third. I would suspect that we are going to, at some point in time, see an extended run for Gorman. And I think what we're – let's go to a hypothetical situation for a second. Let's say that what we're seeing right now from Jordan Walker is actually the start of something. That shows the value. You know, they talk so much about runway, and I know people are sick of hearing that term, but there's the value in it. If Walker actually has turned the corner here, in large part, he's been able to do it because he's been in the lineup so often. At some point, you do want to give that chance to Gorman. But, John, you're 100% right. If everybody is healthy, there's not room at the end right now for Gorman, especially with Herrera in there and Alec Burleson swinging the bat that he's been swinging. You know, it's at times tough to keep Walker in the lineup because you want to put Burleson out in right field. So these things do tend to work themselves out. But right now, outside of this Arenado thing, and we'll see if he's going to be out for an extended time or not. I don't think he's going to be. But at least Gorman does get in there today.
So, Matt, we were talking at the beginning of the show about, you know, the conversation went the direction of what the Cardinals might do at the deadline. And we're still a couple of months away from that. But let's say they are right here where they are now, a couple of games behind the Cubs. And still playing pretty good baseball. The Cubs are playing good baseball right now. I think on paper, the Cubs are probably a better team. They have bullpen issues, but otherwise, I think they're a better team. Let's say they are in this position. Do they stick with what they have? Do they still entertain the idea of trading somebody like Ryan Helsley? What do you think they do, and what should they do?
I think what they should do and what they probably will do is, if they're right there, I don't think they're trading Ryan Helsley. I don't think they're trading Eric Fetty. But I also don't think they're going out there and making a big splash at the same time. They may go out and, yeah, the bullpen could probably use another veteran, consistent guy that in a pinch can be used in leverage, but more often than not is just a more reliable arm than what you're getting right now, kind of at that final bullpen spot, whether that's been, you know, Chris Roycroft or Matt Swanson, who it is right now, whoever it might be. So that's the only area I like this team. And you know, maybe something happens from an injury standpoint where you need some starting pitching, because the depth just does not exist right now in starting pitching. You've got one guy at AAA who could start right now. Eventually, it'll probably be two when Quinn Matthews is back pitching right now. You would think that there's still a good chance he makes his big league debut this year. So maybe there's an outside chance they go out and get a starter. But more than anything else, I think they stand pat, maybe adding a little something to the bullpen.
I'll tell you who I've liked out of the bullpen, and I know they want him as a starter, but I've really liked him out of the bullpen, is Gordon Graceffo. His stuff is...
I don't think they do want him as a starter.
Okay.
I would push back on that.
Okay.
Now they've had him starting at Memphis, but more than anything else, that keeps him on a schedule, and that keeps him stretched out, and that lets him work all his pitches. I think they view him as a bullpen piece long-term in the big leagues.
Well, and I'll tell you what, he could be effective. His stuff... In short spurts, his stuff's pretty good.
Yeah, the velo goes way up when he's pitching out of the bullpen, and he needs that to be successful at the big league level. So it's been a little hit or miss with him. You know, we saw him in those back-to-back games when he picked up his first career save against Pittsburgh, and he had pitched the day before, and he held velo the next day. That's been good. Hasn't looked quite as good his last two outings. He's given up runs in each of them. One of them was a two-inning outing against Kansas City where he just had to get those final outs and get on out of there. But generally, I'm a Gordon Graceffo guy. I talked about him a lot during spring training. I think he's got a bright future in the bullpen for the Cardinals.
All right, Matt Pauly, are you on pregame today or just postgame or
am
both?
Pregame right. And postgame.
Will there be a Redbird rush hour? Or is there time for it?
There's probably not time for Redbird rush hour, and I do get the night off from Sports Open Line for the holiday. So, yeah, once we are done with Cardinals coverage for the night, that will be it for me.
but we still do have sports open line tonight.
No
open line at all. Wow.
No, I think there's a replay of the Redbird rush hour and then a CBS News Memorial Day special.
All right. Sounds good.
Sweet.
Matt Pauly, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
Pre-game coverage, we have it here at 1:10. 1:10 to get started with the ball game at 2:05. Cardinals play in Baltimore today. And don't forget, you can still donate. KMOX.com/Red Cross. All of the money stays in the St. Louis area for those affected by the tornadoes about a week and a half ago. It's John Hancock with Chris Ranji on KMOX.